Determination. Determination's pretty important. I was determined to plant a crop and get it out of the field every year. That was hard work. I used to call myself a rice grower. Over the years, I realized I don't grow anything. I plant it and harvest it, and God grows it. Determination is usually based on convictions. Determination is what gets us up in the morning, gets us out to work or to our family. If you want to see determination, I've watched my wife and four of my daughters determined to breastfeed. That seems like something that should just happen, but for most people it requires huge determination, both from mom and from baby. Now, determination is a wonderful thing, and so is conviction. The trick is, if our convictions are a little bit off and our determination is a little bit off, I'm kind of like up there in the top right, see Dr. T.P. Chia. Success is the child of hard work, determination, and perseverance. I did that on the farm, that hard work. Well, he says failure is consequences of laziness, irresponsibility, and lack of commitment. I live there. I don't know about you. I've lived there for a long time. Now, the trick is that kind of determination can turn into what Frank Sinatra said. Anybody know who Frank Sinatra is? He was like from the 50s, and he had this song, I Did It My Way. It's a great song, and this is the last words of one verse. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way. Now, listen to Frank on YouTube. You can tell why I didn't make it as a singer. But listen to that song. I did it my way. You know, that's something that Peter had to face. He wanted to do it his way. And I think probably all of us would like to do it my way. And Jesus had to break Peter of that. And he did it through failure. And that's the story we're going to look at this morning. Let's read some verses. And as I'm reading these verses from Mark 8, I want you to listen for Simon Peter's convictions and also listen for Jesus' convictions. And I want to talk about those a little bit. Let me read starting in there. This story took place maybe last year. We talked about Luke 5, the great catch of fish. This story is maybe 2 years after that. Peter had been following Jesus for some time. This story takes place maybe just a couple or 3 weeks before Jesus was killed in Jerusalem. And finally, he's asking this question as they're traveling through Caesarea Philippi. He asks them, who do people say that I am? And they said, John the Baptist, or others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them the most important question in the world for all of us. But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered him, you're the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said this plainly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And he called to him the crowd and his disciples and said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Crazy words. Did you pick up some of Peter's convictions? Peter was right. Jesus was the Christ. He was convinced of that. He got it right. However, like all of us, he brought a load of expectations along with him about what it meant to be the Christ. And it wasn't just Peter. His whole culture was expect. These are the things they expected. Can you see them? Oh, the font's too small. Sorry. People in that day were expecting the Messiah to be the king of Israel, to restore David's political kingdom and ascendancy as the number one nation in the world. They were expecting the Messiah, the Christ, to be the perfect priest and to have such a wonderful service in the temple that really just brought God to earth. And they were expecting that the Messiah would punish those Gentile sinners. So when Peter said, "You were the Christ," he got it right, but he got it wrong. What was Jesus' conviction? It was a little bit different. The Son of Man must suffer and be killed, and after 3 days, rise. Pretty contradictory expectations of what it meant to be the Christ. Now, when Peter heard this, he was determined. What was his determination? This is not going to happen to you. It will not happen to you. And along with that was his determination that I will prevent it from happening to you. And what did Jesus say to that? How'd you like to hear Jesus say this to you? What's going on here? In just a few minutes, he's gone from proclaiming Jesus Christ to be the Christ to having Jesus tell him, "You're channeling Satan." This is bad news. Now, you remember in the garden of, not in the garden, when Jesus was being tested in the wilderness, what was one of the temptations was, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will just worship me. You can bypass this whole suffering bit. You can bypass the rejection. I got a shortcut for you. Worship me and I'll give it all to you." See, that's what Peter had fallen into when Jesus said, "No, you know, being the Christ means I'm going to die. It's going to be bad. I will be resurrected, but that is my plan. My conviction is that's how you save the world." Really interesting story. I would not want to hear Jesus say that to me. However, like Simon, there are times when I think it should be done my way. You know, that's what Adam and Eve said in the garden. "God, you have your plan, but we're doing it our way." Didn't work out so good for them. Didn't work out so good for me. Didn't work out so good for Simon. Let's read this next section of Scripture. I hate failure. And I hate people to see me fail. Any of you got any good failure stories? I could tell you several. And I will if you really want to hear some of them. I don't like it that God uses failure to shape me and to let me know, "Ken, you really can't do it your way. Your way doesn't work." This, we're jumping ahead now from the previous passage to when Jesus was on his way to being arrested. And this is, I'm picking up the story there, kind of jumping around a bit. "You'll all fall away," Jesus is talking to his disciples, "for it's written, I'll strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I'll go before you to Galilee." And Peter said, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." Jesus said, I tell you what, this very night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. All the rest said the same thing. So he wasn't alone. Moving ahead in the story, this is when Jesus was arrested. He said, I'm going to strike the shepherd. Here he is being stricken. They seized him, religious police, led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed. He's carrying out his commitment, isn't he? They kindled... Some years ago, Nancy and I were at a conference, and the guy out of a study of Mark. It was in Thailand, and one of the guys at our table was Alvin, a little Taliban guy from southern Philippines. And when we got to this, he was a believer now. He was down there in Mindanao, is where he was from. And he said, you know what? Peter was attempting a guerrilla rescue. I would never have thought, but this guy was a guerrilla. And he knew what it was to break into the enemy camp and rescue your leader. Peter had enough determination to follow by himself into the lion's mouth. His determination was strong. He followed at a distance, and when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down, Peter was among them. Then a servant girl said, seeing him as he sat, look closely at me. This man was also with him, but he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. Later, someone else saw him and said, you also were one of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man was with him, for he too was a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at him. This is face to face. And he remembered what the Lord had said. Before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. We can have the next slide. You know, last week, Peter was laying in a boat full of fish saying, leave me alone. Wish you'd go away. 2 years later, he's weeping bitterly after one of the worst failures in his life. The Lord was pretty blunt with Peter about dealing with his false convictions. See, Peter had very strong convictions about who Jesus was and what he was supposed to do and how he was going to follow him. To build a disciple, to help Peter become what he was not yet, Jesus was willing to precipitate this kind of crisis in his life. Now, I would guess most of us can remember a time like this when the Lord brought us to our knees face to face with our own failure. I didn't like it the times it's happened to me. There may be still some of that in front of me. None of us like this kind of failure, but it's the way Jesus does it. He doesn't let us wallow in our self-deception. He reveals truth to us. And the truth is, he does it differently. Success after success after success, that's what I like. The bigger the crop I harvested, the higher the price, the happier I was, and the better job I thought I'd done. Now, when it was a lousy crop, it was somebody else's fault. But that's just how we think, isn't it? Jesus broke Peter of his false convictions. But then he put him back together with a different set of convictions. And this is, you're familiar with the story out of John 21. A couple weeks after sometime after his death and resurrection. And you remember Luke 5? They left their boats. Well, here they are. They're back fishing. I don't know about you, but after a hard time, I find comfort in going back to what I know. And there's some safety and just kind of, and I'm not sure it's all bad. I think that actually might be a good thing, to retreat into some safety. And as they're fishing, what's Jesus doing? Who has just suffered, died, been rejected, killed. He's raised. He's on the beach cooking breakfast. Can you imagine having the Lord cook you breakfast after you had failed him and he had looked you in the eye and he knew it and you knew it and he's there cooking you breakfast? What a story of the way the Lord does things. He breaks us for our own good. We spank our children. But then he's making you breakfast and rebuilding us. He asked Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I you know I love you." And he said to him again, "Feed my lambs." Said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved this time because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted and do it your way." My insertion. "When you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, it's interesting. Peter promised Jesus, "I will die for you." And that promise did come true. He did die for the Lord, but it was 20 years later. I think he had a sense of where the Lord was taking him. But it was a ways off. He had the right instincts, but the timing was wrong. Okay, time for some hand motions for us. I am going to do it my way. All of us. My way. My way. My way. Now, close your eyes and put out your hands. Lead us, Lord, where you have in mind for us to go. See, you can actually just sit that way for a minute. I could do the same myself. Amen. See, this is how he rebuilds us. Love, do you love me? Well, loving him means denying ourselves. I'm going to get back to what the words he said. If you love me, you will serve my people. You will be a minister. This is one of our mottos. Every member and minister, we're right on with this motto. That's exactly what Jesus said to Peter. And then stretch out your hands. Relinquishing control and my way, pretty tough. And the Lord may need to do some pretty dramatic things to get us to be willing to do that. But when we do, he'll be there cooking us breakfast, strengthening, demonstrating his love, inviting our love, giving us purpose. Serving in the kingdom of God is the purpose of life. It's the solution to all the problems that everyone faces are solved in the kingdom of God through the death and resurrection of our King. Okay. See, Jesus' kingdom is upside down. We mention that a lot, this upside down kingdom. I think that's the next slide. Oh, I missed the application. I would like to miss the application. Are our convictions the same as those of Peter before he was broken? He was expecting a political kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, I am a king. I am the king. But my kingdom isn't here. That's why my people don't fight. Are we just expecting religious rituals? We got it. Peter had enclosed God in a nicely contained box. And he knew what God was supposed to do and how God was supposed to do it. I think it's a temptation for us. We got a nice box to sit in this morning. It's got six sides. I tell you what, God will not stay in our box. It's not religion. It's not this perfect temple worship. It's a transformed life of becoming like Christ. He's our big brother. We are the little brothers and sisters. The good news is we have eternity to accomplish this. But let's make some progress now. He will help us now, less to do later. I can't read my last line. Oh, yeah. Peter had expected that the Messiah was going to punish those dirty Gentiles. Actually, this is next week's sermon out of Acts 10. As we mature in our faith, there becomes less and less of them and more of us. And Jesus did not come to punish the wicked Gentiles. He came to give them life, and life abundantly. Okay, now we'll get to the upside down kingdom. There it is, upside down. If anybody wants to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Everything we think is going to save our life ends up losing our life. Losing what we think is our life for his sake and the kingdom gains us life. See, that's the lesson that the Lord just put Peter through. It was a tough learning experience. How many of us have had that same experience? We all have that, and he will keep repeating it. This is my theme. Next slide, please. This is my theme for this three-part series, is that God shapes his people through a series of events. And we talked about two events in Peter's life. There was catching all the fish, and then there's today where he utterly failed in his determination based on bad convictions. And next week we'll talk about his ethnocentric conversion. There's a fancy title. I learned that from somebody else. That's not mine, but it's a great title. And he does it over a lifetime. I was a human development major in college. I actually have a BS in human development. which my wife, who's a scientist, has a BA in nutrition. That's been a source of conflict for many years. You know, we're used to the idea of human development. You start as a child, and if everything works right, you mature and you become an adult. And pretty soon, if you're not lucky, you look like me, you get old. But we understand the process of human development. There's a process of spiritual development as well. The Lord leads us through it. Some of you are in puberty. Some of us remember puberty. Some of these transition times between developmental stages are really unsettling. And that's illustrated in this process of discomfort and reflection and insight and aha, and then ongoing transformation. But he does that over a lifetime. Jesus shaped Peter over his lifetime to help him, to make him become something he was not yet. He's doing the same for us through a series of what feel like crises. He shapes us to become what we are not yet, but in his promise, one day will be. Thank you.